Seen that in Deuteronomy 29. Just a couple of things I'm going to comment on. It says, ye stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy word unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with Yahweh thy Elohim, and unto his oath, which Yahweh thy Elohim make it with thee this day. And this covenant, it wasn't distinctive. He was calling them all. He said all of them, your children, even the strangers that was in the camp. So I thought that was pretty awesome. I mean, he's an awesome Elohim that we serve. That he's not, you know, he don't pick and choose people of backgrounds, or if you confess and you believe in your heart, he said, I call you my son, I call you my daughter. So he was giving everybody equal opportunity to receive a place in the kingdom. And in Isaiah 55, through 11, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing thereto I sent to it. So he's saying that whatever he says, it will be done. And look, we can see that in Luke 24. I want to show you something he said. Because he said his word will not return void. Okay, talking about the resurrection. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the spectra, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away, and the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Master Yeshua. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood at them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why I wanted to read that, because he said 3 days, not a second more, not a minute after, 3 full days that he was going to rise. That was his word, not returning void. He said, he told him that in 3 days he's going to rise. Now, he would not be in that ground longer than 3 days. And in Zechariah 14, 1 through 9. It says, behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And it shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh, my Elohim, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass that in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at the evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one. That hasn't happened yet, but just like he said, my word will not return void. And I can't wait to that day when he step on the Mount of Olives, and we visually see this happening, and then he's going to be king over all the earth, and there shall be one Yahweh, and his name one. So powerful, so powerful. The prophetic portions of this teaching, I noticed there was three powerful images of new beginnings. New clothes was one. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh, my soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he had clothed me with the garments of salvation, he had covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. The ultimate makeover. Is a perfect bride without a spot or wrinkle. Is what we are going to be clothed in triumph and victory. And number 2 and 3 was a new name and a new love and intimacy. And we find both of those in Isaiah 62:1-5. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Elohim. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For Yahweh delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man married a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy Elohim rejoiceth over thee. A new name, you know, when you change it, a new name change in the Bible is a sign of a major life change. It's a transformation. We've seen that with Abraham. Abram was Abraham, and his wife Sarai was transformed to Sarah. And Elohim promised that he would give Israel a new name. And we see that in Revelation, emphasize repentance in Revelation 2:17. It says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the assemblies. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And a white stone, it says a white stone is a symbol of absolution and release from sin. In ancient times, white and black pebbles were used as a means of acquittal and condemnation. So Elohim wants to change our name so we can know our identity in him, in the Messiah, righteous, holy, redeemed, forgiven, and free. Once we truly know who we are in him, we will begin to act differently, like true children of Elohim. Others will see us and relate to us differently, like they do now. Our whole lives will be transformed. And that's all, you know, taking part in the Torah, celebrating his feast days, not the world's feast days. And in the Hosea account, the 14, 1 through 9. It says, O Israel, return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of your hands. Ye are our mighty ones, for in thee thy fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will be the dew, and this is what I want to talk about right here. It says, I will be the dew unto Israel, as shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots on Lebanon. Now the dew, you know, it gets real hot in the summertime, and the dew does something for the grass. Anybody want to guess? No? Okay, I'll tell you. It preserves life. It gives it a refreshment. And that's what he's saying that he will do for us right here. He said he will give us I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots in the Lebanon. He wants to refresh us. He wants to preserve our life, to preserve life. These promises are not just for Israel, but also for us. Elohim also places his love upon us. I thank God, I thank Elohim for his Torah. I thank him for his word in general. But just going back to the Torah, because I feel so close to where I know I don't know all what he expects of me, but you're working towards that because you see different things that, you know, that you shouldn't be doing and how it brings to light. It brings to light what it's, how can I say this? You know what he expects by going back to the Torah from the very beginning, by going through Torah, not throwing that away. And it's just so amazing, you know, just all week long as I played this over and over and over. Well, I played it from where it was double, so I wasn't really listening to the prophets in the 52. But man, you just, as you're listening to it and it becomes so real to you, you get emotional because you feel, like I said, you feel that much closer to him and you know exactly what he's expecting of you. And it's so powerful. And, you know, there's three three things the law does. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures. You can write them down. But it defines sin. It blesses you when you obey. And it curses you when you disobey. Meaning sin, when you sin. And, you know, for the defining sin, you can look up Jeremiah 44:23, Ezekiel 18:21, Daniel 9:11, Romans 3:20, Romans 7:7, and 1 John 3:4. And the blessed is when you obey, which is all in the Deuteronomy. You can look in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's all in 11. Start with chapter 11 if you want, and it tells you the blessings. But then it don't stop there, because it tells you in Psalms 112:1, Psalms 119:1-2, and then also in the Brit Hadishah, Matthew 5:6-10, Luke 11:28, and James 1:25. And then the curses in Deuteronomy 11, Deuteronomy 28:15, Deuteronomy 20:45. Joshua 8:34, Jeremiah 11:3, and Galatians 3:10. Maybe I spoke too fast. Y'all probably didn't write all that down. But I can give it to y'all if y'all want. I have the notes. But that's what I got out of the Torah this week. You know, just how when you stand, and it's just like last week when Pastor referenced about when you're coming into his laws, you're coming into to doing what he says. And that was the same thing as you're standing, you're taking an oath. You're saying, okay, well, this is what we're going to stand for. We're going to abide by his rules, by his laws, and by his precepts. And that's what the Torah is, as his laws. So, if anybody else want to comment on any part of the Torah? I know it was long. I still think we still beat Pastor, though. He's a little longer than all this scripture that he gave us. Any questions? Oh, all right. Nobody got no questions. So I want to thank y'all for coming out.